Liftoff will start in T-minus 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dream job and a dream coming true, and we can do so many really nice things and learn so much new and interesting stuff. So that's, it's a pretty amazing position to be in.
And with this enthusiastic introduction, welcome back to a new episode of ESA Explores. Together with our guest, Marco Sieber, another member of the ESA astronaut class of 2022, let's dive into the world of space. After the selection, Marco packed his bags in Switzerland and headed over to Germany to tackle the biggest challenge of his life, astronaut basic training. Fresh from one of his study sessions at the European Astronaut Center EAC in Cologne, he sat down with us today to give us a glimpse of what his new routine looks and feels like. I'm Laura Zurmühlen, joined by Denzel Lorge on the sound desk, and this is ESA Explores. Hi, Marco. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very glad to have you here as our guest today.
Hi, Laura. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me.
How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you. Yeah, I had a pretty easy morning, a lot of self-study time where I could repeat some things that we learned in the lessons. So that was quite a nice morning.
Because usually, yeah, you do a lot of practical and theoretical lessons, I guess. How does it work? Do you have like a schedule and then you go to the different lessons?
Yeah, we have every week a different schedule that is scheduled by the basic training team. And I guess that's quite a complicated and hard work, but it always works out very well for us, at least. Then usually we have theoretical lessons, like, for example, recently we had meteorology or astronomy. And then there's a lot of concepts explained and a lot of physics or a lot of details that we should remember. And so, yeah, then if I don't get everything in the first site, then usually I have to repeat the lessons at home or at work. And for that, we sometimes have some time for self-study.
Yeah.
Self-study time.
But you don't need to do any exams afterwards. Or are you studying to prepare for exams?
That's still a bit unclear. I guess there will be exams, but we don't know yet in what format. So, yeah, we just try to be up to date with the knowledge.
Yeah. So I guess since you arrived here in Germany at the European Astronaut Center, life might have changed a little bit for you. So how was it? How has like the last past months? How has this been for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, life changed quite a lot. So we all moved here together to either Cologne or to the area, which is quite a nice area, I have to say. So everyone changed their jobs. And for me, it was quite a big change as well, because now it's like being back to school, back to a course, which is very nice because I like studying, I like learning new things. So for me, it's a very good thing. You had to leave your home behind. I try to keep a lot of contact and to go back often. So I keep contact with my friends and family.
And since you started here, you already mentioned that you're learning a lot of new things. Is there anything in particular that already stood out to you?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of really good things and highlights. For me, I think there are some highlights. For example, the astronomy lessons I found really fascinating, and that was something that already interested me before, but now we just got some really high quality lessons about astronomy.
So what did you do exactly during these lessons?
Most of the lessons are theoretical, like at university where you have someone presenting the topic. So we had about galaxy formation, about the formation of the universe, the formation of our solar system, then about all the planets in our solar system, about exoplanets, stars. So that was all very interesting things. And we also visited the planetarium.
Oh, nice.
In Bochum, which was also very, very fascinating, because they could show you the whole galaxy and the whole solar system. So that was one of the highlights.
And you said you've been interested in this topic before. So just, did you observe the stars or read some
literature on astronomy before, or you studied it a little bit as well, maybe?
No, not really scientific literature, yeah. But it's just a very fascinating topic. And, yeah. you find an article or a video about it, and then I watched it, but not really in a scientific way. So I'm still I don't have a lot of knowledge about astronomy. I just find it very fascinating.
So now is the chance to learn more and get to know more about this. And so as you said, life changed quite a bit since you moved here. You're a medical doctor, right? And also paratrooper and a skydiving instructor, and you have like a very impressive background. So how do your previous experiences relate to what you're doing right here?
Yeah, good question. I guess so. I guess there was also some of the selection criteria that people are already a bit used to the kind of work that an astronaut does. And I mean, as a medical doctor, you, for example, had to always keep on learning new things, because especially if you want to acquire a surgical skill or something other very specialized skills in medicine, it needs a lot of practice, so years and years of practice. And I guess it's the same for an astronaut, because now in the basic training we basically just learn new things. So that's a bit of a similarity to the medical profession. And then also, we haven't been exposed to that yet, but I mean, as an astronaut, in the end, you're in a quite operational environment, in a also somehow dangerous environment, and you have to be able to react to emergencies or to unforeseen events. So, that's basically what you're doing in the military or as a rescue medical doctor. So I think there are some parallels where I can hopefully profit from.
It's true, when you have an emergency in space, there's not always a doctor, like not every astronaut happens to be a doctor. So what happens usually when something happens on the space station?
It did not only mean medical emergencies, but also like technical emergencies or fires or whatever. I hope it doesn't happen, but in medical emergencies, that's right, there's not always a medical doctor or a medical specialist on board, but all the astronauts, they get some medical training, and of course they have a huge support from the ground, so there's always flight surgeons on the ground that support the astronauts, and the astronauts should have some skills, you know, to make simple diagnostics and simple treatments. But in the end, I think medical capacity on the station are quite limited because also of space and weight issues. So, it's probably not very easy to perform a surgery on the space station.
But do you think you have an advantage because you already have a background in medical, in the medical field? Or do you still follow the same classes as everybody else?
No, basically everyone follows the same classes because, I mean, I might have some, or I might have knowledge in medicine, but others might have knowledge in engineering or in science or in astronomy, as I said. So, everyone should get on the same level. And still, it was quite interesting for me because, I mean, I studied medicine, but we didn't learn a lot about, the impact of space flight to the human body. So that was all
very specific.
New. Yeah, it's a very specific topic. And so that was also something new for me.
Have you any experience like with remote locations? So have you been on any trips or seminars or workshops or mock-up missions far away and in remote places, as would be space?
Not really. Well, I have been, in the helicopter rescue company I worked. There you are sometimes pretty remote on glaciers or on very high mountains, and you're only the team of three of you, so that's quite you have to handle your resources well, and also analyze the weather and all the dangers that are there. So that's a bit similar. And then I was also as a medical doctor in Lesbos in Greece. That's the place where a lot of refugees arrive, so they need there's just not enough medical care there, so they had like a small outpatient house where patients could come and get treatment or get diagnosis or referral to the hospital. So that was also quite with not a lot of resources, and very, very interesting and also very eye-opening for me.
I also saw that on the lesson or on the schedule, you had some AR medical training, so augmented reality. How was that for you?
Yeah, the AR training was very fascinating and very eye-opening for me, because I think it's a really, really good technique to teach, especially anatomy. We had it for the anatomy course. So you can imagine, like, you have these AR glasses. It's just like a lens, two lenses. And then you still see the room and your bodies. And then in the middle, you have the skeleton. And then add layers like blood vessels or muscles or organs or whatever. And you can zoom in, zoom out, you can move some bones or whatever. And I think it's really good to get some three-dimensional understanding of the human body. And I mean, much easier than, I mean, in medical school, you have a cadaver, which is, you know, also ethically difficult and also much more complicated to organize. So that's really, I think that's a bit the future of probably medical education as well.
Yeah, it helps to visualize everything and see. So do you think, or will this be applied on the space station or in space? Is it meant to be, or is it just for training on Earth?
Well, this particular case, I guess it's for training on Earth to train the astronauts or the astronaut candidates. But I guess there are also a lot of applications in space flight, for example, to repeat some trainings that you can't do on the hardware. For example, I don't know, maybe robotics trainings or some payload trainings or emergency trainings where you can't train it in real life in the space station, but maybe with augmented reality. So I guess there's a lot of applications it could be used, but I mean, I'm not an expert at all, so just guessing.
But still, it really sounds like the future and future, like an important future space technology. Is there anything else you're looking forward to or that you can already see that will be a big thing in future space exploration?
I have to say, I guess it's not only for space exploration a big thing, but also for medicine or for other professions, it could be very, very useful, the VR or AR technology. I guess something we heard a lot as well was 3D printing. It's a very topic that we come across a lot. And I think that's something that's being developed also for space exploration, for deeper space exploration, like the moon or further away, because you could maybe in the end develop new tools or hardware for the space station or for whatever space station you have, because when something's broken, then you would need a replacement piece on board, but that needs a lot of space, and then maybe you wouldn't need it because the thing doesn't break. So it would be very handy to have 3D printable replacement.
And you can print on the spot whatever you need.
Exactly. And it would be, you wouldn't need that much space. It's you need less weight to transport into orbit. And I think that's something very promising for space exploration.
So apart from all the hard training that you're doing here, what do you do apart from training when you're home? Do you have anything to wind down?
I guess on weekdays we sometimes go to a restaurant together or do some sports, some running, just relax at home and watch a movie.
Watch a movie. Is there time to explore Cologne and the area a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a carnival season starting, so that's my first time. Yeah. I'm interested how it's going to be.
It will be fun.
Cologne has a lot to offer. I think a lot of restaurants, bars, so it's a very, very lively place. And then on the weekends, usually if I don't stay here, I sometimes go back to Switzerland and spend my time in the mountains, which is also very, very nice.
Yeah, true. We don't have a lot of mountains around here.
You have other things.
We have other things. And also ESA and EAC especially is also a very international place. So you have people from all different cultures. How was that for you coming here?
Yeah, that's a really nice experience, I think, because, first of all, you really train a lot of different languages and you hear a lot of different languages, and also culturally, you know, you get to know all these little differences between the different cultures. So that's very cool. And I think it's a very positive environment here and a very positive vibe you can feel at EAC, and also very familiar, even though it's very international. So that's something I appreciate. Yeah.
Do you teach each other like little sayings or recipes, or do you exchange a lot about culture and your backgrounds with other people at EAC?
Yeah, I think we talk a lot about food from different countries, and
the most important.
And there's always a well, not a fight, but some differences in, you know, the Belgian chocolate and the Swiss chocolate, the Belgian beer and the Swiss beer or the German beer. So that's
did you ever find a winner, or does it just stay in a friendly competition?
No, I think it's a friendly competition. Maybe we should invite some referees.
Okay, I'd be up for that. Some chocolate tasting in the AC. Yeah, but really, it sounds like it's a great like team dynamic and with the group and.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we have a lot of fun together, and and also the whole team at EAC is very very cool bunch of people.
Is there anything challenging for you right now during your training or the time here?
Yeah, well, there's a lot to learn, so that can be challenging at times to memorize everything or keep it in mind and not forgetting everything again that was half a year ago. That's quite difficult somehow. And then I guess also being in a new environment and being away from home is also difficult from time to time, but that's for everyone working here.
I guess
it's the case for everyone. Yeah. So that's something you get used to, or you can find your ways. Yeah.
And then at the same time, it's also pretty rewarding. Or
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a dream job and a dream coming true. And we can do so many really nice things and learn so much new and interesting stuff. So that's, it's pretty amazing position to be in. And I was very lucky to be selected, and I still can't really believe it that I have been chosen, because there were so many.
So really,
good
still
candidates.
Like after it's been a year now, more or less. So you still feel?
Yeah, I mean,
like it's a dream.
No, it doesn't feel like a dream.
Okay,
it feels real, but it's just I ask myself a lot, like, why did they choose me? Because I mean, there's so many very good candidates around Europe, and it's just a. It's just hard to believe that you get chosen amongst all these candidates.
Is there anything you're looking forward to already? May it be training or a location you are going to travel soon for ESA? Or?
Yeah, so every week is different, and every week I'm looking forward to it when I see the schedule. I guess the highlights coming up are probably the winter survival training.
Oh,
that
really?
That will be...
Where do you do that?
In Spain.
Okay. But in Spain.
In the Pyrenees, so it will be cold anyway.
So
that would be a nice part of the training, I guess.
Nice.
And then we have a trip to Houston to get familiarized with the place, with the Johnson Space Center, with the probably also the other astronaut candidates from NASA.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a very nice trip as well, I guess. And then we have other next year. There's other things to come, like more EVA training in the pool, which is also we just started that now. The EVA training, and that's very exciting.
So that's spacewalk training, and then you go diving in this big deep pool that we have here at EAC, right?
Yeah. So EVA means extravehicular activity. Or spacewalk, so when you go outside the station in a spacesuit and have to repair things or to inspect things or install new hardware. And so that has to be trained, and we train that now at EAC. We have a big pool that's 10 meters deep. And there you can put, you can submerge modules like the Columbus module.
Mm.
And then you try to move along and to install, for example, some hardware. That's something you have to learn. It's quite difficult to handle with the like the simulated microgravity and all the tools and all the tethers. So it's very complex operations. But it's fun to learn.
I guess, and also a nice thing to do in space. So I guess a lot of astronauts or astronauts to be are looking forward for a spacewalk.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, that would be, I guess, one of the highlights of a space flight. But yeah, it's also difficult to learn, and you have to prepare a lot. But yeah, that would be quite a highlight if I would be able to do that. Let's hope for the best.
And maybe you have something to share with our listeners who are also now very intrigued and interested by everything you said. For someone who wants to be in the space sector as well or become an astronaut, is there anything you could say to them or advise on?
Well, yeah, I think the first thing is to try and to apply. So, I mean, for the astronaut selection, I didn't think I had a lot of chances to get through, but I just applied, and then in the end it happened. So if anyone has the idea to work in the space sector, then just try and apply. And if you get rejected, then try once again. And of course, at ESA, there are not only jobs for astronauts, but there are a lot of different opportunities to develop yourself or to grow. And then also, I think when someone already working in the space sector, probably also the chance of passing an astronaut selection might be also a bit higher, or at least it's not a disadvantage for an astronaut selection. So yeah, and then in the end, just probably it's important to just do what fascinates you, or what you like doing, because I think you're only good in something when you also really like doing it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Be it in university or in your job, if you like the job, you're usually also good at it, and that's, I guess, something important for an astronaut selection as well.
So you're in the right place now to continue all this hard work. And yeah, thank you very much. I'm really intrigued on this winter survival training, so I have to talk to you again after you did that.
It would be a pleasure for me if we survive.
If you survive.
But I guess they take good care of that. Yeah.
I hope so. And then I will with pleasure welcome you back here. But for now, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and have a good day. Yeah.
That's a wrap for this episode of ESA Explores. It's amazing how diverse our astronaut candidates' backgrounds are. From military pilots like Marcus to neuroscientists like Raphael, and now a doctor like Marco, all on their way to space. To learn more about Marco and the rest of our astronaut class of 2022, head over to our official ESA Exploration blog at blogs.esa.int/exploration. To make sure you don't miss out on Marco's next steps, make sure to follow him on social media. He's ESAAstro_Marco on X and ESAAstro_Marco on Instagram. Join the conversation on X at ESA Spaceflight using the hashtag ESAExplores. And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and share on your favorite podcast platform and check out ESA's YouTube channel as well. Stay tuned for the next episode where we'll bring an astronomer into the mix. Until then, thanks for listening to ESA Explores.